Our scripture this morning is indeed that story that Carla just rehearsed with us about Jesus' baptism. And it comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. So as the second-born child in my family, my baby book was essentially empty, except for my name and birth information. There was no information in there regarding the milestones I made in my childhood, when I said my first words, what those first words were, when I took my first steps, when I lost my first tooth. None of it was there. And it certainly doesn't say anything about my baptism. So to continue my pity party, there aren't any pictures either. Well, there are some, but they're mostly with my older sister. So, of course, there are no pictures of my baptism. So I use this as ammunition for years to guilt my mom into admitting that I was her favorite child over my sister, and we got lots of laugh out of what I called being the second born and invisible. So it just wasn't my mom's strength to record my milestones in this book. But we did share many, many, many conversations about what was I like? When did this happen? When did I do this? So all was not lost. But many, like you, many of us probably don't remember our baptism. So as we come to our scripture today, we are challenged to put meaning around what baptism means. What does it mean to you? Does it mean a washing away of the sins? Does it mean being accepted into the community of God and the community of this congregation, where the church has some responsibility for the spiritual life of the child? Is it a rite of passage or a new beginning? Is it when we are set free from whatever keeps us from feeling fully human and fully alive? Is it the strength we need for the journey. As you can see, there are many theological questions in our scripture today. So let's not focus on those right now. For a minute, let's focus on John the Baptist, one of the main characters. John, in our scripture today, John is offering baptism for the forgiveness of sin. Well, John's an interesting character. You can imagine him being on the cover of Vogue magazine or any other style magazine, because what Jane Eyre described as a man dressed in camel hair loincloth and a leather belt, surrounded by his diet of milk and honey and locusts. So that's all edgy. And the reason it's edgy is because that wasn't the dress of the day. That was more the dress of Elijah's time in the Old Testament. So the symbolism on the surface seems that John the Baptist might be some kind of radical. Now, John was doing baptisms at the Jordan River. And that makes it significant, not only because of the cleansing and the renewal, but because the Jordan River was a 75-mile trek from Galilee. It wasn't an easy trip. Back in ancient times, by foot or by donkey, it would have taken 2 to 3 days to get there. So the river symbolizes transitions, that something new is going to take place. After all, this is the river that the Israelites, as they left Egypt, wandered in the desert for 40 years to reach and then cross into the Promised Land. So baptism at the Jordan River symbolizes a transition where we are between the wilderness and the land of milk and honey, being invited into something new. It's an outward symbol of being beloved and a unique individual in the context of community. For Jesus, when he walks into the Jordan River, it signifies the beginning of his ministry. The ritual and acknowledgement of being on the edge and transitioning into something new makes the concept of baptism come alive. And friends, we have things, we, this community, this country, that we need to move on the other side for. So before we continue exploring the meaning of baptism, let's keep a couple things in mind. Number one, behind the pulpit in the church where I come from, ornately carved in beautiful oak, are two words that I think are profound. Love wins. Number two, Scripture is continually weaving stories that are reflecting the politics of the day and the love of God reflected through the human experience. So yes, the Bible is political, but it's not partisan. So there's this tension between love wins and ancient politics. And there's this tension between love wins and current politics. So for instance, when we talk about topics related to justice, we say justice is love. Justice is how we show our love. And sometimes we speak of baptism, of the act of washing away sins. But texts like this one suggest that there's more about being set free that binds us, free from whatever keeps us from being fully human and fully faithful. We know that life can be messy and fraught with challenge, disappointment, and pain. Baptism, you could argue, gives us strength for the journey. with the water dripped on our head, we are reminded before anything else, we are God's. And God has claimed us and loves us without reserve. So we strike out on a journey of faith, not knowing where it will lead us, not knowing what it may ask of us, but trusting that God will lead the way. This is how we balance love wins with our current cultural and political environment. And yes, we must. We must put love into action. Writer Steve Thorngate suggests that baptism is not so much about the ritual of cleanse as it is about turning toward the world's uncleanliness. In other words, baptism inducts us into a community that does not run from pain or turmoil, but rather faces into it, just as Jesus did for the sake of healing, loving, and redeeming God's whole world. When we do all of this and the heavens open up and we know there is no barrier between heaven and earth, nothing can keep us separate or separated from the love of God. What have the events of the past week shown us? How can we remember the meaning of our baptism in times like these? Certainly, it has shown us the uncleanliness that exists in our world. The insurgency on our capital, the threat to our democracy, the blatant presence of white supremacy, the mentality of some of our leaders and supporters is disturbing at the least. Bernice King, daughter of the late civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., said this about these past week's events, quote, "This is not abnormal. As my father said, this nation was born in genocide. We have yet to earnestly address America's violence roots, its white supremacy, or its racism. With urgency, we must. If we do not, violence in many forms will persist no matter who is in office." Unquote. How can we show up with our love put into action for a country that is hurting and in turmoil? How can our baptism that begins with the water and takes us on a journey to the cross be used to show our love in our current situation? Take that journey to the Jordan River. Does it take you a day, a week, months, or years to get to that point of transition? Stand on the bank of the Jordan River and see your reflection in the water. As you walk into the muddy water, facing the pain and turmoil, what gets you on the other side to the promised land? Let this journey to the other side change the way we look at our current situation to perform acts of love for justice and healing, not just for the sake of our community, our neighbors, but yes, our world. Yes, we must. There are some uncomfortable implications for inviting the Spirit to invade our lives. We are going to have to get uncomfortable. With the love of God, the strength of our baptism, and the teachings of overcoming political strife and power in ancient and modern times, this is not the time to stand on the edge. There's a new Facebook frame out there. you know, a frame that goes around one's picture that has words around it in this new frame. And I see some of you using this frame. It says this: we are responsible for what happens next. Let us remember our baptism. May it be so. Amen.